Rookie season is in full swing, and one wide receiver preview wasn't enough. This year's class is loaded, so we are back for wide receiver preview part two, and it's even better than the first. Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. Yes, that is right. We are back for some more wide receivers. We all know the big sexy names at the top, but this is where we really start to... This is how you win Dynasty Leagues, uncovering those second tier receivers that can really be your superstars for your Dynasty rosters for years to come. I'm joined by a phenomenal guest yet again, Wyatt. I think this is friend of the show territory. You've been on a few times now.
I'd like to think so.
Absolutely. You'll know Wyatt's work from... It's part of the guys over at JWB and obviously DLF as well. Wyatt, how are you doing? Thanks for coming on.
Doing fantastic. Always appreciate getting to talk to you. Thank you for having me yet again. Definitely friends of the show. You're friends of our show. I'm friends of your show. You know, I love JWB loves working with Fantasy Sanctuary.
The feeling is very much mutual. We definitely love having you on as well. So yeah, as I mentioned, we've talked through six wide receivers with Mike or Daddy's Home. If you've not checked that video out, go and check it out now because it is fantastic. But let's dive into six more. So we're going to start down in Texas. I feel like we're going to spend quite a lot of time in Texas as we're talking through these six prospects. But we're going to start with, I never know if we're going with Adonai or AD. It seems like people want to call him both. But we'll go AD Mitchell. As I said, wide receiver out of Texas, 6'4", 196 pounds. Not the most productive in terms of raw, you know, box score production, but incredibly flashy route runner, does some stuff in terms of his route running to get open that not a lot of people in the league can do. He's a really smooth athlete, and his kind of short area quickness, that agility is super elite. Are you a believer of AD, Wyatt?
It's so hard to say. AD is such like a mercurial prospect because film people love what he can do on the field, but then they like his route running, like you mentioned, but then they also say, but it seems like he's not running full speed a lot of the time. And then we get that like quote from him that says like, I most of the time I'm running 70% of the speed because I want to stay on the field the entire time. And like, that's why like no one expected the combine testing to happen the way it did for him, because you don't see that on field when you watch him, because apparently he's not playing at full speed. Like, but that's like, so you have to like figure out what that means to you. Like, is this okay that he, you know, doesn't play full speed? Will that be a problem for coaches? I don't know. And then, like you said, the metrics, the stats there, like they're good. They're not great. Like the yards per run, especially like the 1.56 in 2022, the 1.72 in 2023, like that's just not good. Like you want that for a tight end, maybe, you know, like, so you have to try and like parse through all this stuff. And it ends up making me feel like, I don't know, like I'm going to want some exposure to AD Mitchell just because like, I do believe like basically everyone in the film community all agrees like the guy is fantastic. He doesn't do much after the catch, but like everything else looks really good. So like you can put some context even to the stats, right? Like Quinn Ewers is not a good QB. he's playing with Xavier Worthy. So like you have to put some context to all of it, all that stuff. I know it just kind of leaves me in a place where I'm going to have some exposure. I try to always have exposure to almost everybody, at least like one, you know, just the, if I'm wrong share, I like to call it, AD Mitchell. I'm going to be more than that, but it wouldn't surprise me if I end up being lower in my rookie draft rankings than most people. I'm assuming he's going to get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. Now I'm assuming that that's going to make him end of the first round of Superflex rookie drafts. And I'm also like, I just tweeted out this today. Like, I'm basically like having placeholders at the end of my rookie draft first round for like whatever running backs get drafted by the Chargers and the Cowboys in the second round. So like, it's going to be a conversation between those players and AD Mitchell and like still Troy Franklin. I still like, I think he's going to still being in that. So it's tough. I wouldn't say like I'm an AD Mitchell truther for sure. Like, I'm just kind of like, I don't know, maybe with the wave going for him.
Yeah, I think for me, he's honestly one of the hardest evaluations in this entire draft class, because the talent is absolutely there. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, produced, okay, not incredible numbers, but produced numbers at two impressive programs when you think he's played at Georgia and Texas. I think, yes, Quinn Ewers isn't phenomenal, but you've also got to look at the surrounding talent in Texas. You know, Xavier Worthy, potentially going to be a first-round pick in this year's draft. Obviously, AD Mitchell. Jordan Whittington, I think, could maybe sneak into day two as an intriguing kind of later round wide receiver, running back hybrid. Jatavion Saunders is probably going to be a day two tight end. Obviously, Bijan Robinson, Roshon Johnson. You've then got Jonathan Brooks. Like, there is a hell of a lot of talent in this Texas offense. And you can kind of explain some of the stats away with that. But I just sort of, I come back to, if you watch some highlights of him, you can see the odd play where it's like, this guy is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if his route running is, I can't make up my mind whether he's a really good route runner or he's an average route runner that does it with flash. And he does these like massively over-exaggerated head fakes that look great on film. But I don't know how much they're actually allowing him to get open and how much it's just to kind of look good. And so I'm sort of like, yeah, there's some stuff there. There's definitely talent there. You know, he's got good size. I think he could potentially play the X at the next level. But I come back to, look, targets per route run, he never saw above 20%. As you said, yards per route run, never got over 1.75. Like, the numbers just aren't there. And I think for me, I'm always going to lean on that production. And so I'm probably going to be lower than consensus on AD Mitchell. Yes, I'll probably have a share or two, like you said, but I'm left wanting more, and I have some serious questions. And I think there's other prospects in this range of the draft where he's going to be going that I have fewer questions on. So I'm probably going to allow someone else to draft him. And I think he's the kind of guy that we could see with this back end of the first round, by the way it's looking up, there's going to be four or five receivers that go there. And I feel like he's one, because he's that, got that size and speed combination, he's going to get overdrafted. And I feel like in the dynasty community, this happens every year where we get these big-bodied outside receivers that get overdrafted because everybody's chasing that kind of prototypical X, when actually some incredible production in a slightly smaller frame just sort of gets left sitting there for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and when you look at that end of the first round, I think it's a pretty flat tier that extends into the second round. And if someone wants to stake their claim on AD Mitchell and I have one of those picks and they want to come up for it, I'll gladly move back a few, you know, and let them make their player take. And I'll just make the game theory take and say, like, I think this tier is all about the same. I'll take whatever, you know, in the back end of this tier.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm fascinated. I keep hearing in the NFL draft, people talk about, you know, this is so loaded. I hear Mike Renner's got 25 wide receivers in his top 100 that he's just released. You know, we could see 7 wide receivers draft on day one. We could see 20 receivers draft on day one and day two. And I'm kind of like, everybody's penciling all these wide receivers for the back end of the first. And I'm wondering, if you're sitting there, if you're Buffalo and you're like, yeah, we could really do with a wide receiver, but actually this wide receiver class is loaded. Let's go and get a tackle or, you know, a corner, knowing that you can still get a really good receiver in the second round. So I do wonder if that could force this sort of second, third tier of wide receivers to fall in the draft, and we don't end up getting 7 first rounders as everyone seems to think we're going to.
That is really interesting. It will be fun to see, like, the game of chicken between NFL franchises on draft night, if they do play that game. Like, if they do see it the same way that all of us on the outside see it and say, like, this is a really deep class, they might not, you know, value them in the first round as much.
Absolutely. But if you are here, if you are watching, we are so close to 1,750 subscribers. If you're 10 minutes into the video and you've not yet hit subscribe, go and do it now. There is so much more content. We've got so many more rookie profiles coming. And of course, best ball season is just around the corner. We said we're going to spend some time down in Texas, Wyatt. We're going to stay in Texas a little bit longer. Xavier Worthy, very different size. I've got here 6 foot 170. I think, you know, yes, his pro day numbers are around that, but obviously he was a little bit lighter at the combine. Uber productive, had arguably one of the greatest freshman seasons we've ever seen from a prospect coming out. Are you a worthy fan? Do you think that that frame is going to cause concerns at the next level?
Here's what I'll say, that of course, the moment he runs the fastest time at the combine, there's all of the tweets about all the other people who have run the fastest time at the combine and how none of them are successful. And that's just like bad faith, because Xavier Worthy has a very different profile than all those other players, wide receivers, because he actually produced and did it right away in college, unlike a John Ross, who basically didn't do anything until he was a senior. You know, he's just a much different prospect. It's very hard to compare him to those types of players. I think like part of the reason why these really fast players end up probably disappointing in fantasy is because that changes their draft dynamic for NFL teams, because now they realize like this is a different kind of speed on the football field and we can use that for our team. And they're not thinking about fantasy. They're thinking about what kind of role can this player play in my offense. But Xavier Worthy's production is very real. I do like him a lot. I like him more than A.D. Mitchell because of this history of production. I'm still probably going to be like with the market at best, saying all those things, probably believing in him more than a lot of other people, just because he is this small wide receiver. And like, I realize that the NFL is changing and smaller wide receivers are having more and more success. But I also think that we could be getting to a point where that starts to come back just a little bit as we see some of these smaller players that enter the NFL be unable to last through entire seasons. Like we saw Devon Achan last year miss a few games, but you were still happy to have him. And Tank Dell, you know, breaks his leg because he's just in there on a run play, which like, yeah, he shouldn't be in there, you know, helping for a run play on the goal line. But like, I don't know. It's possible the fact that he's 165 pounds had something to do with the fact that his leg broke blocking on a run play. So I'm like, I'm not trying to be like a size truth or anything like that wide receiver. It's just, I think anytime we do have a player like Xavier Worthy, who like measured at the combine at 165, which he may have done just to run as fast as he could. It's just like enough. That's like, I'm not going to personally be like ahead of market on a player if I don't think they absolutely deserve it when they're that size. I think Xavier Worthy is really good. Just like there's just enough there that makes me think like I'm going to be with market, maybe slightly ahead, but I'm not going to get ahead of my skis and say like wide receiver 4, which I've heard, you know, like he's still going to be behind that tier of wide receivers for me. Like he will be a late first likely for me.
That's fair. Well, I'm happy to get ahead of my skis and say that I'm super excited about Xavier Worthy. I was so praying that he didn't break the combine record, because I feel like if he'd have run a 4.23, I'd have probably been able to get him at much better value, and I'd have still been super excited. He's been my wide receiver for pretty much the entire off-season process. Absolutely love his film. I think he's, you know, ability to create separation, whether that be with pure speed, nuanced route running, or agility is incredible. I mean, this is a guy that had a 27.4% targets per route run rate as a true freshman at Texas. Like, we're talking about A.D. Mitchell couldn't break 20%. This guy hit almost, you know, 27.5% as a true freshman. Like, I think he is just different in terms of the way he moves. And I think that, yes, the size is a concern, but I think that we've seen, okay, that there might be injuries. He might be a little bit more fragile, but, you know, Mike Williams tore his ACL last year and he's 6'4", 250 or whatever he is. Like, you know, guys that are built like that still have freak injuries and still get injured. So I'm always going to bet on the talent and the production. I think Xavier Worthy's absolutely got that in bucket loads. I've seen some comments about his hands. Yes, he does have those kind of traditional concentration drops and stuff like that. I'm not worried. Like, this
played through a broken hand 1 year too.
Well, exactly that. I'm a guy that bangs the drum for Deontay Johnson every opportunity, and give me a guy that can get open and command a huge target share. If he's going to drop 10 balls a year, I couldn't care less. If he's going to see 100, 130 targets, like that's where the production comes. And I really think that yeah, after the Elite Two, I've then got sort of Roma Dunze as like a next tier, and then I think, as you said, it's really flat, and there's probably about 10 guys that you could probably have make an argument for being that wide receiver four. For me, I'm going to go age-adjusted production, elite athletic traits, and a guy that I think can carve out a role the second he walks on the field. And I'm not worried about him not being able to cope with a high target volume, because he's done it in college. You know, we've seen him command huge volumes of targets from the second he stepped on the field. So, yeah, I'm a huge Xavier Worthy believer, and think that if I can get him late first, maybe even early second, that's I'm smashing that pick the second I get the opportunity to.
Yeah, like my fear, and I should have said this, I don't think I actually did, is that like he's going to be like a top eight super flex pick, and then I just won't have any because I do have those top three wide receivers that most everybody has, and then, you know, three QBs, Brock Bowers, and I think that JJ McCarthy is going to go high enough that in super flex, I'll have JJ ahead of that too. And then that's where that like tier drop happens. And then I also like Brian Thomas a lot. And I think like that's an inflection point for me, is I think I'm going to have Brian Thomas higher than Xavier Worthy. And if that means that I don't get Xavier Worthy, I'm going to have to like purposely, if I'm in the spot, say like, I want to grab at least one Xavier Worthy here. But if he is going like actually late first into the second, then yeah, like I'm definitely in there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's semantics and we won't know until draft time, but I'm sort of thinking, I think the first four quarterbacks are definitely going to be going kind of top eight picks in super flex. I think Brock Bowers you can pencil in. I think those three wide receivers you can pencil in. And I think there's going to be at least one running back that's going to get day two draft capital and land, as you said, in kind of Baltimore or Los Angeles or something like that, that is going to get, or Dallas, and is going to get that boost and will probably make a claim to be in that top 8-9. And then you've got your Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy tier. And yeah, that sort of back end of the first is where I'm comfortable taking him. And hopefully if all plays out, I think that's probably where he's going to end up going, in that back end of the first, early second.
Yeah.
But we're going to move on to a fairly divisive player now. It feels like all of these players are slightly divisive. We talked about there being a bit of a flat tier, but Ladd McConkey, 6 foot, 185, out of Georgia. Now, again, another phenomenal route runner, really impressive short area quickness, and I think better speed to boot than perhaps I expected. But then slight concerns, again, as we talked about with A.D. Mitchell, about where's the consistent production? Is he only going to be a slot only at the next level, or can he carve out much more of a role? Are you one of these that's a big believer in McConkey and the route running, or do you see some of those concerns?
I am generally in on McConkey. The production is a weird one, because it's like on a per target basis, he's very good, but and per route basis, he's very good. But for whatever reason, he didn't run that many routes, injury, whatever's going on. It's a little bit almost like we have this corollary now where we can say this is almost like a Puka Nacua profile, in a little bit, like where after Puka Nacua started breaking out, everyone like revisited his profile and went like, oh, well, actually it's like his per route numbers and per target numbers are like really good if you just like isolate just those. But for whatever reason, it was happening there. You know, Puka Nacua wasn't running all the routes and all that. But, you know, everybody in the film community, this is another one, everyone in the film community is like smooth route runner, really good on the football field, does everything, gets handoffs, can run out of the formation wherever. He's not just like a slot only player, because he has we now see like the legit speed and route running on the outside. Maybe he has to, in certain matchups, play a little bit more slot because the corners are able to press him. I think that's really going to be like the big thing for him once he gets the pros, is if he can beat the press. But maybe he can be the slot flanker role, who, you know, in two wide receiver sets steps outside, but doesn't play like the split end, doesn't have to actually line up on the line, so he can avoid the press a little bit more, but come inside when there's three wide receivers out there. The testing was just like really great, obviously. And I like, a lot of people were like, he's faster than you think, but like those people even were like, he's not running a 4.39. You know, they didn't see that. But like looking at, so like in the JWB Discord, we run a daily rookie draft mock and then track the results. So we have like pre-combine ADP. We're still loading up enough drafts post-combine before we feel comfortable putting out the ADP. But like pre-combine in our ADP, he was the 208, which is pretty low, I would say. Now, after the combine, I expect him to come up. But if he's still only coming up a little bit, like I'm definitely going to be in Ladd McConkey. I think he's probably going to end up being like an early second round pick for me. I really like the player. If he only moves up to mid second round, I'm probably going to have a lot of him.
Yeah, I feel like I can kind of repeat everything I said about AD Mitchell for Ladd McConkey. I like a lot of what I see. I like the route running. I think his ability versus zone. And now you mentioned Puka Nacua, and I feel like I don't want to be that person that says anything about Puka Nacua because he was such a freak. We're not going to repeat it. But the thing that Puka was so good the second he stepped on an NFL field was that he fully understood defensive concepts and understood how to beat zone coverage from day one. And I kind of feel like Ladd McConkey could be that guy. Like, there's not very often in college you see guys that have a nuanced understanding of A, where the surface is going to be, but almost that sort of subtle drift into space away from defenders, which McConkey does really well. The production worries me, as you said, he had really good like per route numbers, but overall he never felt like a true centerpiece of the offense. He was always kind of a bit part. On the slot only thing, I think too much has been made of slot only. Is he an outside receiver? To me, receivers are one of two things. You're either an X, as you said, you're that split end that can line up on line of scrimmage, can beat press coverage, and can be that kind of prototypical guy. Or you're a flanker Z slot. Like, to me, they're the same role now. There's no, like, it's 10 right. years ago in the NFL, it was you're an X, you're a Z, you're a slot. Yeah. Z and slot are basically merged, and it's almost there's now no longer three types of receiver, it's two types of receiver. Yeah. And I think that, McConkey will probably do his best work out of the slot, but as you said, in two wide receiver sets, he can go into that flanker role, he can go and play the Z and be fine with it. I don't know. I guess my concern with him is he going to be a guy that is going to be able to be fantasy relevant? And when I say that, I mean like top 36 fantasy. Yes, of course, he's going to be in the flex range. I don't know if he's going to be able to be fantasy relevant unless he's being force fed 130 plus targets. You know, if he ends up as a wide receiver two on a team and sees 100 targets, is he only going to be a flex worthy consideration? And if I'm having to spend probably top 15, top 16 pick on him, is there another player that I should rather go and chase the upside that I can get, you know, a little bit more sexiness, shall we say? Yeah, he's probably going to bust more, but there's that potential upside of that top 12 overall player. So I think I'm probably going to end up slightly below consensus on McConkey, but I'm struggling to come down on any firm opinion, should we say.
I'll say, like, I like your comparison to AD Mitchell. I do think they are like similar prospects in that way. The difference for me being that, like, AD Mitchell's probably a draft in the first round. You don't have to do that with Ladd. So, like, if I'm going to take the bet on the production's not quite there, but I like a lot of the other things, like, Ladd's the one for me. You are right, though. Like, you do have to worry about like what the potential ceiling actually is. I think the NFL draft will tell us a little bit about that too. Like, I'm kind of baking into my process that he's probably going to be an early second round pick based on being able to test as well as he did. If that's the case, like, I'm going to feel comfortable with what I'm saying right now. If he falls, like say he's a third round pick, like, I'm definitely going to be starting to rethink that, because then the NFL is telling me they don't really see him as a high ceiling player, or as high of a ceiling player as I maybe think he is. So, yeah, we'll see.
No, absolutely. We're going to move on to another wide receiver two in his offense, another smooth route runner with yak ability. Of course, I'm talking about Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington, 6'2", 204. Impressive sort of raw numbers, but I think a lot of that is buoyed by the fact that he was playing late in the season, you know, 15 games this last year. When you look at those per route numbers, not quite as appealing, not quite as sexy, but look, good route runner, great with the ball in his hands. Do you think that he's a guy that could be a sneaky appealing player in rookie drafts?
It's definitely possible. The thing that sticks out for me is that it feels like a lot of his production came because of Jalen McMillan being hurt. And I have trouble getting past that personally when looking at Jalen Polk, because he is a late producer, and those things kind of coinciding. Being in that Washington offense, the way the prolific passing offense, everything down the field, you know, it makes me hesitant about Jalen Polk. So it's really going to be all about what's his actual cost. I'll reference again, just because I think it's a good point, is our rookie ADP from pre-combine. He was 303 in Superflex drafts. I think that's an interesting price. Now he tested really well at the combine. So is that going to get people more excited for him and start moving him up more? What's the draft capital look like? Like, what is the NFL going to tell us? That's one, you know, I think anybody doing prospecting, you know, it's important to remember that you have your feelings about a player before the draft for a reason, and that you shouldn't just throw things completely out the window when draft capital comes. You should be like preparing for draft capital and thinking like, I like to have my tiers set before the NFL draft happens. And then when we get draft capital, I'll maybe like move around in those tiers, but I tend not to let players jump tiers unless like the draft capital is drastically different than what anybody was thinking. But with Polk, it's like, I really have no idea what the NFL is going to think of him. And I am definitely going to rely on them a lot for it, because he has this profile where he broke out late. You could probably attribute some of it to one of his teammates getting injured. And it was on this offense where they were passing for a ton. So how much do they actually think about him specifically as a player? I really need to know what the NFL thinks.
Yeah, it's one of these players that I'm sort of sitting there making notes whilst watching him. And there's so much that I like. I'm like, right, yeah, smooth athlete, good route running, good hands, good with the ball in his hands, understands how to break down defender, good at the, you know, the stacking and stemming. I had some question marks about his athleticism. Then he tested really well at the combine. And it's like, okay, so I'm not really sure how much there is that I don't like. And then it's like, but actually I don't really like him as a prospect. Like, I'm listing all these things that I like, but I just felt like I just wanted more. Like, it's a lot of good, but nothing great that he can hang his hat on. It's almost that jack of all trades, master of none type thing. And yeah, I do think part of the production is definitely buoyed by being, you know, one of those three elite wide receivers with, you know, a phenomenal quarterback under center and able to fire the ball all around the field. And it's like, I don't know, again, I feel like I'm saying this for a few of these prospects. I don't know what the upside is, because I don't see him being a target leader in offense. I don't think he's going to be a guy that can command 100, 130 targets in the NFL. So is he just going to be probably a roster clogger that you feel is too good to drop, but you never kind of come to stick him in that starting lineup, and it's like, oh, he's too good, he's got too much value to drop, but he's never good enough to start. So yeah, I think in the third round at that point, for me, I'm shooting for upside, you know. Yeah, I get a bit safer at the early rounds, but once we get to that late second, third round, I'm almost exclusively just looking for home runs. And I don't know if Jalen Polk's got that home run potential. I think he's always going to end up being a safe double, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, just about like general dynasty strategy. Like, this point in the draft, I'm probably just gonna be more interested in like some running backs or a tight end dart than him. Like, wide receivers can fool you into thinking they should belong on your roster when you could probably just do better spending it on a different position, where it's like these wide receivers where you look at him like, well, I might flex him a couple times. Like, he might be a valuable flex to me. Like, is that important? Like, being able to put in a wide receiver might score you 10 PPR points. Like, is that important for your championship lineup? Probably not. Like, I would much rather just be taking shots on running backs who could potentially be flipped into a second round pick in the future or provide 12 to 14 PPR points per game just because they are the ones who are getting the carries and the targets because the person in front of them got injured, because that's how running back works. You know, it's just wide receiver, I think, is the position where you will find the most roster cloggers in Dynasty, because there's just these players 100%. Who, like, yeah, you could potentially put in your lineup and, like, they won't be zeros, but, like, are you ever excited to put them in? I don't know.
It's because once a season they'll put up 20 points and score a touchdown and have 80 yards. And you're like, oh, but if I'd have started in that week, No, I completely agree. I think there's so many wide receiver roster cluggers that we just need to cut bait and move on from. A wide receiver I am a big, big fan of, though. Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. Interesting body profile, 5'11", 210 pounds, an absolute target hog with obscene target volumes, gets the ball in all sorts of interesting way, phenomenal with the ball in his hand. Are you a Corley believer?
I am on the fence, sir. So you can absolutely see the reason why anybody would love him. It's just watch him run over a defender and you'll instantly be like, okay, I like Malachi Corley, right? The issue is just that, like, he has this weird profile, the Debo profile, quotation marks, that everybody's going to say, because 44% of his targets last year were screens. You know, he gets a lot of stuff like that where it's just run after the catch, and he does it really well. Will he be able to do that in the NFL? Can he do more in the NFL? I think that's what's really important. This is another one where, like, I need to know how the NFL feels about Malachi Corley. If he is a second round pick, I'm like, okay, someone thinks that he is worthwhile. You know, I am afraid. I think this is like a Treylon Burks corollary for me. And I think it was like a lesson learned from that draft class, was I really like Treylon Burks. And when he went in the first round, I thought, okay, yes, like he has this profile that says he's not a refined route runner. He does a lot of screens and crossing routes and then mixed in with some like nine routes, right? Just running that deep down the field. He doesn't really do anything else yet. But if a team drafts him with the proper draft capital, to me, that signals that that team understands that they will use him to the best of his abilities. And hopefully the rest of that starts to fill in and they'll help him get there. And like Treylon Burks, it like hasn't really happened. I'm afraid that could happen for Malachi Corley. Like, I don't want to get caught up in saying like, the team that drafts him will know to just do these things that he does really well. And because it could, but it could not happen. So like, I'm being tempered with Malachi Corley. I'm trying not to get too excited. I do really like the player. I think that he's got that, like, I hate to use a term that really has no meaning, but like that it factor to him, where like you look at him and you watch him play, you like his type of attitude, that type of person, you think like, this is not a player that's going to like let himself fail. You think that he's going to work really hard when he gets to the NFL. You expect him to do everything he possibly can to be the best that he can. So like, there's something there, and I realize that's all narrative, but I do think like those are like the things that you can never really predict with any player. And sometimes I think you can look at certain people and be able to say like, that guy gets it. And I think Malachi Corley is one of those players who gets it. So really interested to see where the NFL feel or what the NFL feels about him. Right now for me, he's probably going to be somewhere in like the third round of my Superflex rookie draft rankings, but depending on that draft capital, I could see him climbing up a little bit.
Yeah, I think when we talked about guys that have, you know, the safe floor and perhaps not the high ceiling, Malachi Corley's not got that safe floor. Like, there's a world where he could come into the NFL and he's almost like, okay, we need to manufacture touches for him, so he's just going to be a gadget player. And he's, you know, Laviska Shenault, who gets two screen targets and a handoff a game, but can't run true routes, so doesn't get to play proper wide receiver, just gets manufactured touches. And that's definitely in the range of outcomes for Corley. But I think that he has rare ability with the ball in his hands. He has rare ability to be used all over the field in such versatile ways. I've got serious question marks about his ability to separate. He is not a good route runner. He does not understand how to set up a defender, how to, you know, stack a defender so that he can then have a two-way break and things like that. He doesn't do that at all. And that's a real concern. But I think that for me, it's, you're talking about draft capital. I'd almost say I'm the person that says landing spot doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant. Landing spot doesn't matter. For Malachi Corley, it might really matter, because if he lands in, you know, an offense with an inventive play caller, someone that's going to be able to get him in that manufactured touches world, he could be great. If he lands in a, let's say, less inventive scenario, you know, someone like Greg Roman with the Chargers, where he's trying to, you know, stick a square peg in a round hole and just say, right, you can go out and play wide receiver and we're just going to get you to run routes, that would scare me. I think if he could be, like, my dream scenario is Chris Godwin under Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich. Like, I know everyone says the Debo comp. I don't think we're allowed to. We can make that comp. I think it's ridiculous.
I hate it. I only, that's why I use like the deep. There people are going to do it and put the quotations. Yeah. I hate it.
But I think if he can be that kind of power slot that's going to get two or three screen targets a game, maybe the odd handoff, but can operate in that 5 to 15 yard range over the middle, uses good run blocking, and be that kind of not gadget piece, but not a true receiver. And I think that's where Chris Godwin was phenomenal for fantasy. And then you see the Bruce Arians kind of trust move away, and they're bringing Dave Canales, and he ran out of those, didn't have the same manufactured touches, and that's why his fantasy production dropped off. And I feel like that would be a dream scenario for Corley. In the third round, if I'm looking for that home run pick, as we said earlier, I'm probably looking at what, running backs or tight ends. But I feel like Corley could be that guy that it's like, yeah, I'll take a flyer. I think you're probably going to know quite quickly if he's going to cash or not. So maybe you can get out after 5-6 weeks.
Yeah. Is that where you have him currently, as someone who's high on him? Do you have him in the third right now?
I'd need to check. So he's my wide receiver 7.
Well, that seems aggressive.
The there.
Right
I've
there.
Not got my so... overall
that sounds like second round there, Rich.
Let me have a look. So, yeah, wide receiver 7 in a super flex draft. He's 23rd overall. So, yeah, would be back end of the second round for me right now.
Listen, I love that you put your money where your mouth is with that ranking.
Well, let's hope that it comes to roost.
Obviously, it's not, you know, finished, but I do appreciate, you know, because Malachi Corley is one of these prospects where there's going to be a lot of different feelings. So I always appreciate someone who is willing to, you know, stand on their takes like that.
Yeah, I feel like there's definitely going to be some Corley truthers over the next 2 months to start to emerge. Because I think, yeah, I mean, Pat Fitzmaurice was the first person. He turned me on to him when he came on the show. He's a big fan. I don't know if we can put him in the truther category, but yeah, he's a big fan of what he can do with the ball in his hands. The next guy we're going to talk about, though, I think is a tale of two stories. We've got a very interesting, unproductive first 4 years, and then a phenomenal fifth season in college. Of course, I'm talking about Xavier Leggett. He's a wide receiver out of South Carolina. Incredible kind of ex-prototypical size, 6'3", 227. What side are you buying into? What are you buying into, those first 4 years in college, or are you buying into that phenomenal final season?
Rich, I'm not going to lie to you. I have no idea how I really feel about Xavier Leggett, because it is such a wild thing, right? Like, so bad, like literal nothing for 4 years, and then an incredible fifth year. Size, speed, yeah, all those things tested really well. I'm very confident he's going to get like round 2 draft capital in the NFL draft, because this is the type of wide receiver that teams fall in love with. It's like, really, it's just going to come down to what's his price in rookie drafts. If he's a third round draft pick, I probably will take him, because I think like his profile is enough that there is real ceiling there that I'll take the shot and we'll see what happens. But if people want to say that he is a second round super flex pick, You know, taking him at the 2-8, whatever, like I'll probably just pass. You won't take the risk. It's purely cost for me with Leggett. I think he's a player where no matter who you are, you can find the bull or the bear take on him pretty easily. And I'm just like, I'm looking at him almost purely as a stock where it's like, I will buy low on this type of a profile. But other than that, I just don't care.
Yeah, I just don't care about him as a prospect.
Yeah, sure. Completely honest. Yeah.
He's, you know, I definitely have a type. I like production. I like good route running. And I think that kind of size, athleticism is overvalued. And yeah, he kind of ticks all three of those boxes. He subscribes to my Calvin Johnson theory, where I think that big-bodied, fast, X receivers get overhyped because everybody's looking for the next Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
Xavier gets absolutely that. Yeah, I mean, at the combine, looks great. Coming off the bus, looks great. Great size, great speed. But I don't think he's a very good route runner. The fact he did nothing for 4 years, I can't get excited. In my initial kind of pre-draft ranks, I had him at wide receiver 16. Interestingly, in my rookie model, he's wide receiver 23. Now I've plugged in projected draft capital. So he's a 46th percentile prospect, which, I mean, you're looking at an average points per game of about 4 points per game right there, which, like, it's hard to get excited. He's basically everything I don't like to believe in terms of rookie prospects coming out of at the wide receiver position. So yeah, I'm very happy for somebody else to drive Xavier Leggett.
He's definitely one of those players where unless your model, spreadsheet, whatever, only really focuses on best year or last year of college, he's going to look absolutely terrible, like undraftable completely. And then you're going to have to like input draft capital and all of a sudden he's going to like come up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, unless it is third round, which I don't honestly, like, I don't think he's going to be available in the third round of many rookie drafts, because once he gets that round two NFL draft capital that I think you get, there are going to be plenty of people in leagues that are going to take a shot on him and thinking he is like this next, whatever, I don't know, AJ Brown or something. I don't know. Even though like they're not close to each other whatsoever, they're just going to see big, fast dude and be really excited about it. But if it does get to the third round, and you know, the running backs that I like aren't available anymore or whatever, like I could see myself saying, yeah, I'll take a shot on Leggett and see if this can turn into anything. But there's a pretty good chance he's just Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. It feels like he could end up drafted by the Panthers and be the next in the Terrace Ross.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Now I want that to happen because I want to find out they haven't learned their lesson and just get Mingo clone.
That would be special, yeah. Well, that concludes it. I said we were going to cover six guys. Those are the six guys we've covered. If you haven't checked out part one, go ahead. It'll be in the comments below. Go and check out the first six wide receivers with Mike. Wyatt, thank you ever so much for coming on. It's been absolute ball. Of these six we talked about, is there any one that stands out as a guy that you would love to have, let's say, above average shares of come May?
Based on cost, if I can project cost a little bit, I think Ladd McConkey is the one that I'd probably have the most of. If I'm just saying like the one that I think like I like the most and I'd like to draft the most of, it's going to be Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be Xavier Worthy for me. But what, remind everybody listening, where can they find you? Where can they find your work?
Sure. So after everyone's done subscribing to the Fantasy Sanctuary, you can follow me on Twitter at YFB_FF. If you want to follow any of my work, you can head over to the JWB Fantasy Football YouTube channel, subscribe there as well. And then also I write for Dynasty League Football every week during the offseason. I have a positional buy, sell, hold article come out on Wednesdays. That is each week is a different position. Take a look at four different players and tell you what I would be doing with them if they were on my rosters, or if they're not on my rosters, if I'm buying, selling, holding, all those things. And I appreciate you, Rich.
No, really appreciate you coming on. Seriously, guys, go and check out JWB. They're pumping out incredible content there. As we said at the beginning, friends of the show, and fully endorse all of their content. If you haven't yet, we can still join. Hit that join button below. You can get access to the rookie guide from the silver and gold tier from as little as £2.99 a month or $3.99. You get access to all my Dynasty content, all of Tom's best ball stuff, and of course that rookie guide, which we're up over 100 players profiled now, plus all my rookie models and ranks. Go ahead and check that out. We'll be back very soon with running backs, tight ends, and of course those all important sleepers.